Good morning. Today we are going to talk about sharing the gospel of Jesus. And the text we're going to be looking at is Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." And that is God's word. So, I just read a lot of stuff there to you. Let's break this down. So we have the Apostle Paul. I got to have a map up here. I have a picture of a map. So this is on Paul's second missionary journey. And if you look at the map on the left-hand side, there's Achaia, and you see Corinth, and then Athens is right there. So that's where he is. He just came from Macedonia area. And it seems that Paul was sent away from that area up north because he was being persecuted. So they sent him away, and he landed in Athens. So Athens was not part of Paul's plan. Funny how God works, isn't it? I don't know about you, but have you ever had something planned and then God said, "Nah, you're going to do this"? No, I know I have. So Athens, he gets there and he realizes, has a lot of idols. So they have a lot of altars to all these different kinds of gods all over the city. And the most prominent was Athena. She is the patron goddess of the city of Athens. And her temple was the Parthenon. Athens attracted intellectuals from all over. This is where people that you've heard of came from, like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Epicurus. And at this time that Paul was in Athens, this was the home of Epicurean and Stoic philosophies. They had their own schools, these schools of philosophies of these two different groups. So Epicurus, now I don't know if anybody is finding this interesting. I found it interesting and got in this wormhole. That's why I'm sharing it. So just pretend you're interested. But Epicurus held that pleasure was the chief goal of life. And he argued that the gods, remember they worship a lot of them, took no interest in the lives of people. Zeno, who founded the Stoicism philosophy, his teaching centered on living harmoniously with nature and emphasized one's rational abilities and individual self-sufficiency. Does this sound anything like maybe what we have going around in America today? These philosophies definitely are still around today. It's all about me. And so, I tell you all that because this is what Paul was facing when he got to the city of Athens. So what's he do? He starts having conversations with people. And you notice from the first verse that I read there, the spirit within him was provoked. Well, who do you think provoked it? The spirit. Remember, this wasn't part of Paul's missionary journey in his mind. But the spirit provoked him, and he could not contain the gospel within him. He had to share it, which is exactly what he was doing. And as he one day was walking along, looking at all their different altars to all their different gods, he noticed one that says, to an unknown God. You see, these people wanted to have all their bases covered with all the gods. So just in case they weren't worshiping enough gods, they had an altar to an unknown God that they didn't know about yet. So Paul sees this. And this is when he then explains God. And that's what he was doing in verses 22 through 31. And you can go back and take a look at it. But it's interesting. Paul does not begin with Scripture, which at the time was just the Old Testament as we know it. He doesn't begin with Jewish history because none of that would have meant anything to these people in Athens. He doesn't start there. He starts with this altar they have that says to an unknown God. So let's talk about sharing the gospel. And let's look at it through the lens of Paul's situation here. So the first thing, as I mentioned, his spirit was provoked within him. When he saw all the idols and temples to all of these false gods, was the Athens that Paul faced any different than what we see in America in 2026? We may not have altars like this all over the place to different gods, but we make our own gods, don't we? Like money, sports, fame, advancing in career, technology, you can name it. We have all kinds of gods, whether we realize it or not. Remember, anything that we place ahead of the one true God is a god. And really what it all boils down to, it's all about me and my comfort. And so, after this, he started talking to people and building relationships. I'm going to go through these four things again here in a second. Three, he met the people where they were at. He didn't pound the Bible over their heads. That's not always the best tactic. And then, after building relationships and meeting people where they were at, he explained God. So let me ask you all this question. Who here has a family member or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker or a classmate who doesn't know about Jesus Christ? How would you respond if one of those people asked you why you believe in Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? This is a question that we ask our confirmands before they get confirmed. How would you answer that question? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, listen to this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Be prepared. You know, evangelism, it's a big word. It simply means sharing the gospel of Jesus. It does not need to be rocket science. It doesn't need to be some elaborate program that we go through as a church. For example, just heard this last week, that one of our junior youth here at Promise, who goes to a public school in the area, goes to a program called LifeWise. Is anybody familiar with that? This is for the public school kids, where they get to go out of school and to go to a thing called LifeWise, where they actually learn about God and Jesus in the Bible. Pretty amazing, isn't it, nowadays? But anyway, this junior youth's friend told him that he doesn't believe in God. And our junior youth kid said, "Do you have a Bible?" And this kid said, "No." Well, they give the kids Bibles, so I'm going to brag about our junior youth here. That's why I keep saying that. Our junior youth gives him the Bible to go home. And then one of the other friends said, "If you want us to come and read it with you, we will." This is junior high boys, which is pretty amazing in and of itself. I was a junior high boy. But he's reading the Bible because one of our junior high youth gave it to him. That's how easy it is. And we can look at God's word for guidance and direction. Listen to Galatians 5. This is what us being out in the world should look like. But the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we all have. And Maggie now has it, who was just baptized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When we are being these things out in the world, no matter where we are planting seeds of the gospel, whether we're talking or not. And we can look at the situation here of Paul in Athens to give us some more guidance and direction. When we share the gospel, the light of Christ, the crimson thread that doesn't stop at the end of the Bible, it connects to us and continues on out. The crimson thread isn't a nice thread that goes like this through the Bible, by the way. It's like a spider web that connects, and it connects each and every one of us. And we go out and spread the crimson thread. So number one, going through this thing again. 1, 2, 3, 4. When you feel like you don't know how to share the gospel or what to say, has anybody ever thought, "I can't do this? I'm not a theologian"? You don't have to be. Or what to say, be reminded that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you, just like he did with Paul in Athens. He will make it clear to you when to share and what to say. And sometimes you and I aren't even going to realize that the Holy Spirit's using us when we're planting these seeds. You see, it's not our job to convert people to Christianity. It is our job, however, to plant the seeds, to share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will do his thing. Number two, so the Holy Spirit's number one. Number two, relationships. Build relationships with people. If God has placed someone on your heart, do you have a relationship with this person? Do you talk to them? If not, maybe you should. If you know somebody that doesn't know anything about Jesus, you just don't go in right away and say, repent or burn, turn or burn. Isn't that what the sign says? That's not a good way to start. Maybe build a relationship first. Actually, I don't recommend you saying that ever. Relationships are so important as Christians. You know, God did not create us to be alone. He created us to be with each other. And we need each other. And God wants all people to be saved. God doesn't want people going to hell. He wants all people to be saved. And he may be using you to reach certain people. It can be harder sometimes to share the gospel with a stranger, but again, the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you. No matter who you're, if you're talking to a stranger, a friend, a family member, whatever. Number three. So you got the Holy Spirit that's beginning this process. You are building relationships, you and I, with other people. And then we meet people where they are at. Remember, Paul didn't go in there guns blazing. He met them where they were at. He came at them from something that they could relate to, because they knew about this altar that said to an unknown God. So Paul saw his end to get to these people. He even quoted some of their poets. So after you get to know someone, after I get to know someone, you will find out their likes and dislikes and can use different things to share the love of Christ or to share the fruit of the Spirit, one of those fruits. And then the fourth thing, simply sharing, which is what Paul did after he did those other things. Explain God. Let's talk about this God. There was this altar that said to an unknown God. You know, this is interesting that Paul picked this out, and I think he did this on purpose, obviously, because our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is known to us. He made himself known. We know him thanks to the Holy Spirit, who gives us that faith that we received in our baptisms. So we know him. And the Holy Spirit is always guiding and directing us. The passage that Pastor Sean read from John, Jesus is talking and he says, I'm going to send you a helper. That's the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about Jesus, our Savior, our King. You know, and I love this imagery. It's my favorite imagery of Jesus. And I got to talk to you about this a couple weeks ago. It's him as our good shepherd. And the cool thing about it, not only is it the good shepherd, he came and was one of us sheep. The Lamb of God. Our good shepherd indeed knows us. Each and every one of you, he knows. And we know our good shepherd. He's not unknown. And our good shepherd leads us. He finished the race for us by carrying the cross that was loaded with our sins to Mount Calvary, where he bled and died for them, died for you and I. our good shepherd laid down his life for us sheep. We definitely know him, and he knows us. And he would rather die on that cross than be in heaven without us. Amen.